And it said, something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name that I've been told. I love that whole house.
I love the name Jesus.
Wave your hand if you love it.
Yes, there's something about the name Jesus. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott, WGUM Glory United Ministries, welcoming you once again to a sermon by Pastor Patricia Bennett. Thank you so much for being with us.
I can't explain the power that I feel, yeah, when I call your name. Said it's just like fire shining in my bones, yeah. When the Holy Ghost gets to moving, you know he won't leave us alone. And it's all because there's something, yeah. Open your mouth and give him some fruit from your lips.
Times like these, we have no clue what's going on, why it's going on. But anyway, I'm glad to be alive, glad to be a child of the Most High God. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. We are partners. We are one in the Spirit, because we aim to please God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I know that there are some times that when it's time to go on the air, the airways get a little different, and the enemy tries to throw his curve in there. But my God always comes out the winner at the finishing line. So just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. I tell you, your soul, your very soul should cry out, God, for saving me. It's another week that we are coming in your hearing, either live or in the archives. But however, we're there 24/7 if you have access to a computer or your smartphone. And pull up our website at any time, glory-u.org. Oh, bless the Lord. The thought for this week will be, you can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading your last one. That is for someone to stop focusing on what happened yesterday and the day before, and 10 years ago somebody hurt my feelings, and that's why I'm in the condition that I'm in. But you cannot go forward, the Lord is saying. You cannot move ahead as long as you keep rehearsing what happened to you and who did this and who did that. How, in order for you to move forward, forgetting those things that are behind and press, because the enemy don't want you to overcome that harsh word, that slap in the face, that threat. He wants you to keep reliving it. But God said it's keeping you bound. The enemy is also trying to afflict my voice, but to God be the glory. We'll get through this if I have to whisper. No harm in whispering. As long as I whisper, then you can hear me. Oh, bless his name. Also like to add to this thought for the week is, I wrote this down. Oh, my God, it looks like I wrote this down in March of 2014. And I wrote, the first time you went through it, but the next time you're going around it. And I like that. The first time you went through it, whatever it was that you had to deal with, you went through it. But when it comes up again, the second time or the third time or whatever, there is going to be a time that you will be able to pass that test without going through it. You'll go around it, and you'll come out like pure gold. I want to go into my Bibles tonight. I've got three of them on the table. And not sure which one that I really want to read from, but I haven't read from my Charles Stanley Bible in quite some time. And for some reason, today I put my hand on it earlier, and I felt led to read something out of it. Because each one of my Bibles is worded a little differently. And my brother called my attention to that some years ago, my oldest brother, and he said, what kind of Bible was that they was reading out of? And I said, the Holy Bible. What do you mean? He said, well, I didn't understand that. Those words I wasn't familiar with. I said, well, it was the Holy Bible, but it's been, you know, changed the words just a little bit so that it make it easy for you to understand, because sometimes it's hard to understand the Bible the way it is written in the days of old. So the theologians get together and they go in and they modernize the word so that you can read it now like you're reading a book and not the Bible. That's why I like to keep my King James with me when I'm reading from my New Spirit-filled Bible or reading from this one, Charles Stanley Bible, and I have three or four more in my case there that I can pull out and read from. But let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. And I was at Interfaith Power Luncheon on Saturday. Someone blessed me with a ticket, and the person who blessed me with the ticket said to me, you have a lot on you taking care of your mother, and I just want to lighten the load. You go and enjoy yourself with food and laughter and the word of God, and I'll take your mother, keep her, and spend time with her, and I'm grateful. Because God does hear our cry, and he will answer. Maybe not in the way that we feel that he will answer. I did not expect for this young lady to walk through the house and say, look, I want to bless you. I've been praying about it, and I want to take mother, and I want you to go and enjoy yourself. To God be the glory. That's just how the Lord works. You may be looking for it. Him to come one way, but he's coming in another direction. And I also needed to be free this weekend coming up for something very special for a friend of mine that I'm very fond of and close to and with and what have you. And I just wanted to be there. And I need someone to take care of Mother from Saturday through Wednesday. And the girl who takes care of my mother is sick right now, so I didn't know how I was going to manage this. But the lady who took my mom out on Saturday had a friend with her, and that friend is going to take care of my mother. See how God does things? I never would have thought of this woman in a million years. But God brought her right here to my midst, in the yard, it talked and everything, and she came back to tell me, I'll take care of your mother. See, be not dismayed. Whatever be tied, God will take care of you. We are his children, and he cares about what we care about. I'm not saying that you're somebody that says, I know Jesus died on the cross or whatever. No. You have to have a personal relationship with him. You know, David said, listen to this. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall want. David knew without a shadow of a doubt that he belonged to the Lord. So he stood boldly and said, I belong to God, so therefore I claim him as my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. I tell you, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I tell you, every time I start talking, my message can shift. Just like that. But I'm ready for any way that the Lord leads me, I go. Because he knows what the listener may need to hear when they hear it. But you cannot claim the Lord as your shepherd and you are a wolf. You don't follow any of his commandments. You don't hear his voice when he speaks to you. How are you going to claim him when you really don't know him? David knew him. Even though David messed up, he still knew that his help cometh from the Lord. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from cometh my help. He didn't say that it came from the hills. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Oh, I love it. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that the Lord truly is your shepherd and you shall not want. There's something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. And Timothy Wright took a little song and he just took the word Jesus and made a little praise song out of it. And he said, just kept saying it over and over and over and over. And he just kept saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I tell you, when you're in trouble, you can say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, yes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Woo! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God, let me just move on. I feel good down in my sanctified soul. I sure hope you feel good. Let's go again. Let's go to Matthew's gospel. Let's start at that 18th verse. My time is drawing nigh. Something about that name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Something about the name Jesus. It is. It is the sweetest name I know. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's go to Matthew's gospel. I know you've heard that three times already, or maybe four. I don't care. But let's read this. The 18th chapter of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, reads, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" You know what? People are always asking a question, and I feel like I'm better than you, and you feel like you're better than me, but you know what? Jesus has the answer. It's not about your position. It's not about you being the head missionary. It's not about you being the deacon. Not even about you being Patricia Veneman. It's not about me. So the disciples asked Jesus the question, who then is great in the kingdom? Who is? We want to know. So then the Bible says, "And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven.'" Well, you can't be grown to get there. In other words, you have to humble yourself in order to get to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You have to have a childlikeness about you. Didn't say that you had to act like a child, but you have to be like a child that's blameless and don't hold grudges and don't do things maliciously to hurt his brother or his sister. If you cannot humble yourself, you may be 92, and the minister that's over you may be 24. Well, you can't say, he can't tell me what to do. I'm old enough to be his daddy's granddaddy, his granddaddy's granddaddy. But it's not like that in God's house. We have to become like children. Oh, bless God. Let's read the word of God. I'm getting excited. You know that every week, right? You hear me say, I'm getting excited. Why? Because the word excites me. You know why? You know the story of Elizabeth and Mary. Mary went to Elizabeth's house. The baby Jesus that she was carrying, Mary, on the inside of her. When she stepped in the door, Elizabeth's baby started dancing in her insides. Why? Because it recognized the anointing. It recognized God. So therefore, when you read in this word of God or preaching the word of God or teaching the word of God, even singing a song, it should stir up your baby on the inside of you. But now if you get no response, nothing from nothing leaves. If you got nothing, you can't get nothing. No deposit, no return. Oh, I like God's word. Let's move on to verse number 4. Whoever then humbles, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Don't need you fighting over no seat. come like a child in your seat is waiting for you. When I get to heaven, you're already singing a song. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoes. I'm going to put on my robe. You're already trying to give orders before you get there. You're telling the Lord what you're going to do when you get there. But he said if you haven't humbled yourself, you're not. Well, I just read the book. What it say, that's what I say. And whosoever receives one such child in my name receives me. I told you, there's something about the name Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know. And Timothy Wright took and just said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I could really stop and just let that name Jesus just get all on the inside of you and stir up what's on the inside of you. If it's wrong on the inside, let it stir it up that you cry out, what must I do to be saved? And if you're saved, let it stir it up to say, Lord, you are the one. You are the greatest. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, my. Let's move on. But whosoever calls one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have had a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. We as ministers of God, and all of us are ministers if we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. Now, I know in the book of Ephesians, it tells us something a little bit different, but we all are witnesses. Let me put it that way. The scriptures say when the Lord saves you, then you become a witness. You are to witness how? You go out and tell someone else about the goodness of Jesus. That's what you do. When you become a witness, you go out and you just get some talking done. You tell the people that, hey, I'm saved now. The Lord has saved me, and, you know, things are different with me now. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the girl, the woman that I once was. There's a change that has come in my life, and Christ has made the difference. But I tell you, you got to know that you know without a shadow of a doubt, of the doubt, that you just got to know this. You just got to know this. It's just good to know that he gave to some, God gave. I'm looking for that, to read that to somebody, because they don't believe me. I can feel it, that they don't believe that that's true. But, hey, I'm right here. In my Bible here tonight, let's go. Nothing. Look, it's all right to hoop and holler, but people need the word because they're failing. They're sinning because they don't have the word. And let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and it says, you know, let's go there. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Well, that's what the book said. I just got finished reading it for you. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Oh, my God. This is what it says. This is why God gave. Some, he didn't put a name on it, male or female. To some, he gave. Well, you read it out of your Bible. I'm going back to Matthew. It was Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and starting at verse 11, and it said, to some, he gave. And that's where it's at. Mm-hmm. I feel good. How about you? So we were just reading that we could cause people to stumble, and Jesus said we're in trouble when we do that. Don't call, you know, there's an old woman, well, she wasn't old, but I was a little girl, so it seemed like she was old. She would sing this song when she got up. She said, I don't want nobody stumbling over me. That is why I pray so hard. And we would laugh at her because we were children. We didn't understand what she was singing until I got older and found out that when I say that I am a child of God and that I love unconditionally and I'm there for you and this, and then I fail to do what I say, then I could cause you to fall because I cause you to stumble. So don't do those things. If you be who you are, be who you say you are. Okay? All right. I don't like the fuss in my ministry. I just preach what's in the Word of God. Let's go to verse 7. Woe to the world because of the stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. Woe unto me if I cause the stumbling block, if I cause you to error, if I cause you to turn away from the Lord. If it was my fault that you turned away from God, I am in more trouble than you are because I caused you to turn away from God. So, you know what we say, particularly the people that don't go to church. They sit up there and they say, there ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, and they're doing everything. And, I could cause you not to make it because of my actions, because of my ways. My uncle, who's deceased, and my grandmother said, you need to start coming to church. You need to change your life. You need to change your ways, boy. You need to start coming back to church. You were raised in church, and you need to start coming back to church and give God your time, your life. And my uncle's response, I was sitting there, and my uncle's response was, so I can be like Mr. So-and-so-and-so. And Grandma said, what do you mean by that, boy? He said, because I just saw him over at the train station with somebody else's wife, and he go to church every Sunday. He's a trustee, and he's on the choir at that church, not the one you go to, Mother. But so you want me to start coming to church so that I can be like him? See, that person with what he saw wasn't right. Now, my uncle knew that that was not right. He has a wife at home, and she had a husband, and they were meeting at a train station. Well, everybody knew the deal. Not only that, my uncle said, well, you know what? They so good till he park his car and she pick him up and bring him back to the house. I mean, the enemy watches you. You hear me? The enemy know what's going on. So if my uncle stumbled and chose not to come into the house of the Lord based on seeing those two persons, it's on them. Not on him. The scripture said, woe unto them or him who caused that person, the little one, to stumble and fall. When you stumble, most of the time, you fall. Let's read the word of God. If your hand or your foot cause you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands and two feet and be cast into eternal fire. Now, let me just run over here. That was verse 8. Let's see how King James is saying this. Praise God. Wherefore, if thine hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or made it, rather than having two hands or two feet, be cast into everlasting, my God in heaven, everlasting fire. To be maimed, M-A, maimed. It'd be better for you to cut it off. Now, you know what? That's how it says it, to pluck your eye out. But we can pluck our eye out without literally just plucking your eye out. But in other words, get that beam out of your eye so that you can go in the right direction. Speak to yourself and say, this is wrong. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going that way anymore. This ain't right. You know, find that you know how to shake it off or cut it off or get rid of it so that it doesn't cause you to live the rest of your life in hell's fire. You have time to get it right. I have a fellow in my neighborhood, and he has on his car, he says, do right, get right. Yeah, do right, get right. So if you do right, you don't have to worry about anyone seeing you or stumbling over you, and they may just want to know more about your Jesus. Let's read that a little bit more, and I'm closing tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse number 10 says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say unto you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Jesus has come to save us because we're lost. Without a risen Savior in our life, we are lost. I don't care how much you're able to provide with this, that, and the other, and you have this, you have that. But without a risen Savior in our life, we are lost. And people need to tell the truth. That's why I look at some of these people at the funeral. When they say, oh, man, Jesse made it. He made peace with God. When? See, the thief on the cross, Jesus hadn't died then, so Jesus had to tell him what he told him. Well, this day you'll be in paradise. But you've had, you old man, you've had, Lord, have, listen, old man, you have had all of your life to give yourself to the Lord, to find Jesus. He came for the lost. And here God has let you live past or at 70 years young, 70, and you still don't have the Lord. I don't know why God is bringing these messages. Last week, God was telling the people that they need to, you know, get it together. I believe the week before that, it talked about you restore the years that the locusts and the canker worms and the, oh my God, who, God, are you telling to get it together? God is soon to come. I know one thing. I was glad that I wasn't in that club on Saturday night. I was glad I wasn't there. I'm glad the gunman didn't decide to come my way. Should the enemy come, be ready to go home with the Lord. If any of them that was dancing was lost, didn't have Jesus in their life, my word just said they will spend the rest of their life in an eternal fire. The Bible is right. I don't care whether you like it or not. The word of God is right. I'd rather be hooping and standing up, stomping my foot and clapping my hand, but that's not where God is tonight. This is where he is, and I have to be where he is. Oh, bless the Lord. Come on, somebody tell the Lord, thank you. Tell the Lord, thank you. Yes, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Whew. I think I'm going to stop right there, Dr. Scott. And I don't know if I'll pick this back up next week or not, or God will lead me in the path of something else. Just let me do that again, that 11th verse from my King James Bible. And it says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." So you got hope if you're still in the land of the living. You got hope that the Lord will see you through. Just remember, the thought is, you can't start the next chapter of your life. You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading your last. So just get it right, and God will see you through. God has not forgotten you, and neither has God forgotten me. Sometimes it feels like God's not home, but God is not dead. He is yet alive, for I can feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. You can't make me doubt him. Mm-mm. Sometimes I get a little frustrated with God and say, "Lord, where are you? What's taking you so long? You know what I'm going through. You know what my desire is and what I want to do and what I want to be. God, where are you? Come on here, Jesus. I want you to move now." And I guess sometimes the Lord say, "Well, I'm not a commercial." Because you know that commercial that say, "It's my money and I want it now." That's what we do when we make demands on the Lord. "Lord, I want it now." Like, you know, hey, because I said I want it now, you got to jump to it. If you get it now, it's because he was already in the process giving it to you anyway, so you didn't have to say anything. So we just thank God for his goodness. We thank God for Dr. Scott being our host and the bishop of Glory United Ministries. This is your pastor, Pastor Patricia Benjamin. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I won't complain, because God has been good to me and has his past, but I'll say God is good to me. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Woo. Amen, amen, and amen.
Jesus. I need just a little more.
Hey, I need just a little.
Yes, we need just a little more Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Benjamin, for that inspiring, uplifting, and stimulating. Appreciate all that it takes for you to come to the microphone and knowing that the negative power, the enemy, interferes and is trying to interfere with your work. But we know that all we need is just a little more Jesus. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott thanking you once again for being with us on WGUM, Glory United Ministries, and generally wishing you well until the very next time that we're together again on Glory United Ministries. Amen.
For 50 years, Kawasaki has been defying convention and building masterpieces that have revolutionized motorsports. Come celebrate Kawasaki's breakthrough products like the jet ski watercraft, ninja motorcycles, and mule side-by-sides at the Golden Anniversary Sales Event from April 1st through June 30th. Great financing is available, plus sales incentives on select models at participating dealers.
Visit Mount Holly Motorsports in Vincentown before June 30th to take advantage of these great offers.
And this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Town Hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.